we just come for intellectual drill. No. Absolutely no. For every section, we'll take something home for our personal lives. Don't worry about that, okay? But the issue is that I'm also right now teaching the book of Psalms in the church. And I do not have kind of sabbaticals. Sabbaticals are for lazy people. So basically, you go for 6 months, a year, and they expect you to come, and now you know a new topic. I mean, guys, what are you, already in heaven? For us, sabbatical, it's only written in the Bible. It's not in practice. I mean, I'm only 1 week ahead of the church all my life. Do you understand it? So let's say I'm teaching right now Psalms, and I'm doing introduction to Psalms. And then I continue to teach another 4 months about Psalms. And every week there is addition to the introduction because I study more. That's our life. You don't like it, your problem. That's how we live. That's what we have. So I'm always a week ahead of the church. Nothing more than that. So I'm going through to fly above Psalms, a big portion of it, but to take a sample in 1 hour, okay? So when you go back to Psalms, you really should see it in a different way. At least you can see the full picture. Imagine you have a puzzle of 150 pieces, and you never know what the picture is. All you know is, you know how kids are doing puzzles, the first thing they do is they put all the corners, okay? Because it's idiot-proof, everyone knows. And what about the center? So they try to take the similar colors. All the yellows, let's put them together. It's a bouquet. Oh, all the red one. It's a sacrifice. And then you try to put all the colors together and you see those are bundles and somehow they fit. A better idea is to have a full picture of the puzzle in front of you. And then you can take one piece and you know, it's to the right, it's to the left, it's bottom. This is the context. If you do not know the full picture of the book, you shoot from the hip. If you shoot the target, it's by coincidence. That's not the way we should study the Bible. So first of all, we know the picture. We know where we are heading. We know what is the target of this book. It looks totally different. You see, by now, we already gained something. So first of all, the book of Psalms. It's a prophetic book. I'll repeat. The book of Psalms is not a combination of 150 songs someone decided to sing because he didn't have anything else to do. And then you have a collection, a songbook, 150 songs. Pick and choose what you like. Psalms is not yesterday's newspaper. It's a prophetic book. It has a target. It has an aim. It's supposed to lead you to something. It's not a random 150 songs. In Luke chapter 24, Lucas chapter 24, Jesus is going together to Emmaus with the two guys. All the way to Emmaus, that means from Jerusalem to Emmaus, it's about 11 kilometers or a little more. It's about at least six hours good walk. And if you walk with Jesus, it's never dull. And he's teaching them about his life, ministry, death, and resurrection from the Pentateuch, from the prophets, and from the Psalms. And Jesus did not walk with them and tell them, now we have a break, let's sing a song that you choose. He took a psalm and he showed to them, you see, that's how it portrayed me. It's me in the Psalms. Do you understand it? So the Psalm is a prophetic book. The Psalm is a book to lead you to Christ, like the rest of the Bible. This is the purpose of it. If there will be no sin, all the Bible will be Genesis 1 and 2. That's it. That's the end of the Bible. And because of sin, because we need to know how to return back to Eden, we have the rest of it. And Psalms is a big portion of it. So also Psalm is a tool that God created in order for us to know Christ and to know how to return back to his hand, to his saving hand, to return back to Eden. That's the idea. That's the idea of Psalms. Another one, also in the book of Luke, again, in the end of the chapter, Luke finishes his book and basically says that here Jesus spoke about his life, ministry, and resurrection and death, death and resurrection, and then repeat again from the law, from the prophets, from the Psalms. That's how we should deal with it. By the way, the book of Psalms is not 150 songs only. By the Jewish commentators, it was always divided into five books. I repeat, if you read the book of Psalms, it says, depends which version you have, end of book one, in the end of chapter 42, for example, the first portion. So you have five books in Psalms. Why do you think they divided it into five? Because it's parallel to the Pentateuch. They see it as another Pentateuch to lead you to Christ. And what is the end of the law? Christ. And if Psalms is similar to it, what is the end of Psalm? Christ. That's the purpose of it. So now we have a better understanding of what do we hold? How to look at the book of Psalms. Another thing is, Psalms, in Hebrew, Tehillim, that means praises. That's the meaning of it. Praises. If I want to say, I praise God, ani mehalel. Mehalel, the same root of Tehillim, the word in English. Praises. Now, I'm asking you. Imagine this guy, what's your name?
Mike.
Dear brother, but imagine he's kind of a little Al Capone, okay? His hands are full of blood. He came to here after ordering murder his neighbor because his neighbor didn't say hello nicely to him. Like a regular Al Capone. Now he comes to the church and prays with you. Don't you want to puke? Nothing personal. I just took an example. Everyone will remember for life, you know? So, just think about it. How would you feel if a criminal, everyone knows he's a criminal sitting here, cheat his wife, cheat everything, and with you, sing praises? Righteous people will flee out of this door. You will not stay under one roof. God as well. High five. Nothing happened with the Lord's Supper. Everything is okay. Now, remember that. I say that for a reason. And you'll see it in a second. And then your jaw is going to fall down. The book of Psalms is for people whom their heart is set and aligned with God. It's not for criminals who did not confess their sin and repented. And that's how the book is edited. I'll say it again. The book of Psalms is edited. Nothing against God's sovereignty. If you edit something and do not take anything, do not add anything, just imagine in the time of Ezra, by the way, it was edited in the time of Ezra. God gave wisdom, the full wisdom by the Holy Spirit to someone to take the 150 chapters, and this guy got wisdom more than you and me, and he saw the picture. And because of that, he set all the 150 in their right position. Does that negate or kills anything from the word of God? No. It helps us. By the way, all the Bible is edited. Not only written, those who wrote it, God also gave them the wisdom what to put and where. It's edited by God because of his love, so we may receive and see a picture. Otherwise, what do we have there? Why did I say all of that? What is the oldest chapter in the book of Psalms? 90. Moses wrote it. What is the newest chapter in the book of Psalms? 126. After the return of the exile.
Can you imagine?
The oldest one is 90. The youngest son is 126. My question is, my brother Mike, how come they're stuck in the middle and not number one and not number 150? You see, someone put them in there and put something else as number one and number two. And the moment you understand it, now I get why it is edited in that way. And that's why I gave you this introduction. If you want to come to this fellowship of saints and praise God, you have to agree to two conditions, chapter 1 and chapter 2. Are you righteous who love the Lord and love his ways? Yes or not? Yes. Do you kiss the Son? Welcome. Now let's praise. You see? Do you understand? We can right now go and dig into chapter 1 and 2. That's okay. There is a lot to do there. But if you do not pass 1 and 2, if you do not kiss the Son or argue with him, out of this door unless you come to confess your sin. What do you think? God wants to hear you? He needs you? This is the idea of psalms. Kiss the Son, let's sing together. That's the idea. So let's see chapter 1 and 2, otherwise you'll tell me what are the implications. Let's see. Blessed is the man, I'm paraphrasing from my Hebrew, so don't come and tell me what version I have. It's the good one, okay? Blessed is the man who did not walk in the advice of wicked people, and the way of sinners he did not stand, and the position of mockers he did not sit, but in the law of Yahweh his delight, and in the law of Yahweh he will speak and think day and night. And then speaks about him being planted like a tree in the living water. What a beautiful thing. What a beautiful thing it is. Of course, Christ is the absolute model. But it could also be Adam before the fall. That's our direction. That's our direction. That's how God wants to see us. In chapter 2, why all the nations are kind of shouting and having complaint and speaking for vain? They all come together, all these kings and princes come together against Yahweh and against his anointed one. I mean, you take two kings anywhere in the world, they want to eat one another. But suddenly, there is a reason that combines all of them together. Can you imagine? When do you see all the head of the mafias come together? When they have one enemy. The government, the law, the righteousness. In every day of the world, of the week, they'll kill one another. But when they have one big enemy in front of them, all they sit together and hug one another. Hi, brother, how are you? Never mind that I killed your brother yesterday, but hi, brother, today. That's the situation. What's their problem? What are they against? They're against God's rule. They don't want God's rule. They don't want God to tell them what's right or wrong. Because God's law is like looking in the mirror. Ooh, I'm so ugly. So you can do two things. Change or break the window. That's what they did in the Bible. The prophet came and tell them, you're a sinner. I'm not a sinner anymore. I killed the prophet. Sometimes we do the same. We close the Bible as if now we are not monkeys. You cannot do that. And when it speaks like this, and that will be ultimately in the future. Psalm chapter 2 describe end time events. This is what the world is going to be like just before Jesus return. It more described, the ultimate issue will be during the tribulation. That's the situation. Then all the nations will come against God. Where? In Jerusalem. That's why God says in the middle, you can do whatever you want, but let me tell you something. I'll put my son to rule over the world in Jerusalem. You don't like it? Let's go and find another planet. God is not playing with anyone. And see what happened in Genesis. It's exactly what will happen in Revelation. In Genesis, in chapter 11, people didn't like God's plan. What is God's plan? You be fruitful and multiply. That means not men and men and women, but men and a woman. That's a family. Be fruitful and multiply. Go everywhere. If you do God's will, you glorify his name. What did they want to do? We have our plans. We don't want to go everywhere. Let's make a city and let's make a tower. In other words, let's make a name for ourselves, another religion, and we'll supply our everything we need. God, we don't need you. We have a new plan. God came down and destroyed. From that moment until the end of the Bible, especially in the Old Testament, there is a combination of words. You see the prophets, especially in Isaiah chapter 2, I think. Yes, Isaiah 2. Zephaniah chapter 1, he speaks like this. I'm going to destroy every tower and high wall that you build. Where does he take it from? Babylon. Genesis 11. Because it's a saying like, I'm going to destroy every compatibilities, every substitute you made to God and his will. That's the meaning of it. And when you go to Revelation, that's Revelation 17 and 18. The Babylonian whore and the Babylonian commerce. It's exactly the same. And how did God destroy Genesis 11? He came down and destroyed. How is he going to destroy Revelation 17 and 18? He's going to come down and to destroy it. God never changed. So the last advice of chapter 2 is, kiss the sun. And the idea of kissing the Son is submitting to him. He is the Messiah. He is the one God put on the world in order to rule it. It's his say, not your say. See Daniel chapter 2. When he will come at the small stone, he hid the image from the feet and toes and destroyed it. All became dust. And he became the big mountain. And God is not going to make a new plan. That's the plan. There will be no other plan. God does not need plan B. God forbid for God to do plan B. Then he's not God. So chapter 1 and 2 in Psalms is, do you accept these terms? If yes, let's continue to praise God. Let's continue to psalm. That's the meaning. If you do not accept it, sorry, you're out. Or God says, I don't hear you. I don't want to hear you. Because the book of Proverbs says that the prayer of a wicked person is abomination in the ears of God. I do not accept your request. You will die with your problem unless you confess. Then a new page. If you accept the Son, I will erase your sins. You can be dressed with the righteousness of my Son and I look at my new Son. Otherwise, outside, you are still in hell. That's the idea. So, we went to this part. The book of Psalms, again, it has 150 songs or chapters. And in this book, we have a lot of different kind of narratives. We have crowning of king. We have praises. But we have also lamentations. Everyone knows what is lamentations? Okay, lamentation, that means songs of mourning. Crying before God because of problems and so on. Now, did you hear what I'm just saying? Out of 150 songs, 49 are lamentations. And again, that's the book of praises. Did you see the irony? 150 songs of praises, one third it's lamentations. How do you combine them? As if God comes and tells you, in your hardest time, don't come with an excuse. It's not time to praise God. Actually, it's the opposite. In time of conflicts, in time of problems, this is the time to praise God. This is the time to lift up the name of God. This is the time to remember God's sovereignty and love and grace. So your lamentations time will be smaller. You do not praise God in your lamentation time, your lamentation time will extend. Think about it. Think about it.
Now,
in the book of Psalms, as I said before, there is not kind of one chapter by himself. There are no islands. You know, there is no chapter 9 tells to chapter 10, chapter 11, who are you? What do you do here? It's not kind of piece of a puzzle that says, I'm connected to nothing. I decide where I stand. Does not exist in the book of Psalms. Is this clear? Every chapter has relationships to the ones around and to the total. They are not kind of, let's flip it up, and they all fell down. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It doesn't go like this, okay? God gave the wisdom to whoever it was to give them numbers, to arrange them. And the moment you will see the arrangement, at least of a few bundles, you'll be shocked. It will shed a different light on the book. Okay? So, again, I cannot right now in this hour to put all of them, but I'll take only a few, okay? A few examples. The first example will be, this is really beautiful. Chapters 42 to 49. Please open chapter 42. And what is the heading? Some of you don't have the headings. I'm sorry? Korah, yes. Does all of you have these headings there, or some of you don't have the headings? Okay, but you have Psalms of Sons of Korah. Do you have it there? Yes. Do you all have sons, Psalms of the Sons of Korah? Okay, great. Now, what is chapter 43? How chapter 43 starts? Psalms of Korah. 44. Psalms of Korah. It ends in 49. I will not make you tired, okay? 42 to 49 is a bundle. A bundle. It's like grapes, you know? When do you go to the market and buy grapes by singulars? You buy a bundle, correct or not? Good. It's a bundle. And if it's a bundle, it wants to say something, a message. And if you read only one by one by one and do not connect them, you do wrong. You miss the mark. You miss the story. That's the issue. Now I have a job to tell the story. So you want me to be the party pooper to destroy all the idea, or you want to go to yourself home and try to find it? Okay, let's do it now. Okay. So the idea is as follows. I'll give you the overall idea of the bundle. Chapter 42, 43, and 44. If you will take these chapters and mark in very short, one sentence, what is the target of this chapter? Just read this chapter. Erase all the noise and keep only the key and the heart. You will write two titles for these three chapters, 42, 43, 44. God, I am away from you, and I long to you like a deer longs to water. We all sing it, right? Now let's see what kind of a puzzle it is, not only what kind of a small piece it is. Number one, God, I'm far away from you. I long to be with you. Line number two. My enemies are stronger. They overcome me. God help me. I'm far away. My enemies are stronger. Those are the only two you'll find there. Now let's jump. Chapter 46 to 49. Don't look at 45. I have a gun. 46 to 49, okay? What are the major key issues there? God, we are together. I'm near you. And my enemies do not bother me anymore. I repeat. I long to you, God. I'm far away. My enemies are stronger. God, I'm next to you. No problem for my enemies anymore. Who did it? How did it happen? How could it happen? Chapter 45. And what is the headline of chapter 45? You can read. Some of the Bibles have the headlines above the chapter. What is the headline of chapter 45? crowning the Messiah as king. It's the wedding. It's the crowning of the Messiah and his wedding to his wife, which is Israel in this chapter. You want to be close to God? You want your enemies to be dealt with by God? Make sure you crown Christ, Jesus, on your heart. You don't do that, you continue to sing. Chapter 42. God, I long to you. You are far away. My enemies are banging my head. What do you want to sing? I'm close to you. I don't have enemies. Or my enemies are over my head. Crown Christ over your heart. That's the issue. Again, I say it like an idiot proof, like as if a story for a kid before going to sleep. But it's serious. There is way more information there. I simply try to extract the minimum thing just for us to see the picture. Just to see the picture. Okay? So go inside it, check it. It's simply beautiful. But at least now you know what is the frame in which I'm walking. Don't go too much to the right, not too much to the left. Don't miss the mark. Stay tuned. That's the purpose of this bundle. That's why they wrote it. That's the idea. Okay? Now, you want another example?
There are a few of them.
Okay. Another one is Psalm 109 and 110. Okay? Open. Please open.
Psalm 109.
Okay, let's start with Psalm 110. Everyone knows 110. Okay? Who remember 110 verse 1? The Lord says to my Lord, sit to my right side until I put all the enemies footstool to your leg. Correct or not? And everyone knows it's a prophecy about the Messiah. Yes or not? Say yes. Good. So some things are kind of, we already know that. And you know correct. No one says it's not right. The only thing I'm doing here, I'm combining what you know is correct to other things. And then you can understand the prophecies about the Messiah in Psalms. And again, what I'm doing right now, it's a sample. It's a friction, simply a friction, okay? To David, a psalm to David, the speech of the Lord to my Lord, sit to my right side until I put all your enemies a footstool to your feet. And then he tells him what he's going to do to him. That means God speaking to the Lord of David, to Messiah. And Jesus, in the book of Hebrews and so on, speaks. There is Jesus, so there's no argument. Who is the Lord of David? David was the king. Above him, there is nothing but God. And David says, the Lord say to my Lord. So he has two bosses. But we have one God. That means God the Father, God the Son. Okay, that's the idea here. So he tells him, you take your scepter. God will send your scepter from Zion in order to rule your enemies. Just go back to Psalm 2. We repeat the context. It's identical context. Okay? And then God says in verse 4, God swear, that means God promised that he will not return back to it. You are a priest forever upon my word, Melchizedek. What does that mean? When you say Melchizedek, for some people it's a code. It's something like an enigma. Let's kill this enigma. Who is Melchizedek? Genesis chapter 13, 14, we find this guy. Godly man, righteous man. Can you imagine? He was not a Jew and he was righteous. Wow! By the way, Abraham was not a Jew as well. Really? Even Job was not a Jew. They didn't know even what is the meaning of the word Jew. Because the word Jew is extension of the tribe of Judah, Yehuda, Yehudi. So people didn't call themselves Jew unless the tribe of Judah came to existence. They were Hebrews, they were Israelites, and so on. But Melchizedek, a human being. So what was unique with this human being? He was the first king, at least we know, according to the Bible, in Jerusalem. Shalem, it's Jerusalem. What was unique about him? He was a king and a high priest. A king and a high priest. That's what he was. And he pleased God. Now, to be a king and a high priest during or after the Mosaic law was given and before the New Testament was new covenant was given, under the Mosaic covenant, you cannot be a king and a priest in one person. Okay? Remember what happened to Uzziah? He was a king, king of Judah. He entered to the high place and he wanted to be to do the job of the priest. And what did they tell him? Don't do that, don't do that. And immediately God gave him leprosy. Under the Mosaic covenant, a priest is from Levi, a king is from Judah. Do you understand it? Therefore, in Zechariah chapter 6, verse 12, when Zechariah looked at Zerubbabel and Joshua the high priest, he looked at the two and says, one day in the future, these two titles will be in one. In whom? In the branch, Tzemach, the Messiah. But that could be done not under the Mosaic covenant. You need to enter into a new covenant in order to agree and to allow the same person as a king and a high priest. In the book of Hebrews, we see that the writer of the book of Hebrews is explaining it. Jesus is higher than Moses, is higher than every aspect. Don't drift from the truth. Return back to Jesus. He's higher than anything. You see, he's like Melchizedek. It's not that Jesus is Melchizedek. No, Jesus is in the order like Melchizedek, which means a person, I mean God in that sense, of course, but is also a king and also a priest in one unit. That's the idea. And how do you know that he's higher than other things? When Abraham came to him, Abraham held in his loins the seeds of Israel. So in a sense, even Aaronic priests bow before a higher order, which is Melchizedek, which is a person who is a king and a high priest in one. That's the idea. So here, the Lord of David is like Melchizedek, is a priest and a king. That's the idea. So why it is so important? Let's see. In verse 5, on your right side, pay attention to the word right side, you're going to be shocked in a few minutes. He is going to smash in the day of his anger kings, and he's going to judge many, many people and make them corpse. And he will, what? Smash the head on a great earth. Goes back to what? Genesis 3:15. Genesis 3:15. Who is going to do that? The Lord of David. Now, but Menno, we all know Psalm 10. You are here in order to say what is the relation to the rest of the puzzle. Sit well. Now we know what God is saying. God is saying in Psalm 10 is, I'm going to deal with the wickedness. I'm going to take the wickedness out. The Lord of David is going to smash the head of the one who initiates all the problems. Capish or not? Good. That's the answer. But let's see what is the question. I will paraphrase chapter 109. It's like a drama. God, look at the people. These people, I've done only good to them. They're even close to me. What have I done to them? Only thing I get from them is evil, evil, evil. God, please put the devil to their right side. God, put the devil to their right side. So the devil will smash them and give them troubles morning and evening. God, look at my life. I'm totally surrendering myself to you. God, please be on my right side and fix my problems. That's 109. Now you see the answer. Dear David, my son, what do you think? I have only one kid? I have many more kids, like you, like Mike, like many others. I'm not going to solve only your little problem. I'm going to solve the head of the problems. And it will be solved by the Messiah himself. Do you understand that? Oh God, thank you that you're a good father. You feed all your kids, not only one of them. You see? What a beautiful picture. Now that you put the question and the answer on the table. You see the relationship between them. Now, another
bundle. I think we have time for this, right?
Yeah, okay. Now,
chapters 120 to 134.
So please open 120. Imagine I'll teach 119. We'll never finish.
He's so happy. I said 120. He said, phew. No. Okay, 120. What is 120? What do we start in 120? The Psalms of Ascents. Okay, degrees, usually you say when it's temperature. Ascend is when you go up, okay? So in the Hebrew, Shira Ma'alot. Ma'alot means coming up. Ole, that means ascending. Yored, descending. Ole, ascending. Shira Ma'alot. Ma'alot Ole, the same root. Do you understand? Hebrew, it's a Semitic language, not anti-Semitic. Semitic language, okay? So that means that you have a root. Out of the root, you take all the words that relate to this verb. Is this clear? Okay, so for example, the songs of ascending, ma'alot, okay? Ascending, it's like steps going up. The root is ale. Ale, that means who ole, she, ola. Together, we, olim, you see, you take and extract all the verbs, all the tenses from the root. That's the idea in this language. Now, ascending to where? Correct. I'm not saying no. But there is a bigger picture there. We are coming to it. But I'll give you the options there, and then I'll suggest something, okay? Psalm 120 to 134, those are 15 psalms. It's a bundle of 15 songs. It's one story. How would you call a person enters to the cinema, enter to a movie that lasts 2 hours, after 10 minutes, he goes out and explains the movie. How do you call a person like this? Stupid. Okay? So at least stay 2 hours, see the full movie. And then goes out and try to explain. But not to see the movie and pretend to be a professor of the topic. Stupid. We don't want to do that. So here we have all these chapters. Okay? Those are the Psalms of Ascending. I'll give you in kind of glimpse what each one of them says, and then you will see a line. If you do not know end time events, you are still blind and you will not find it. You see, God expects us to study His Word. And then imagine in the rest of the chapter you see a pattern, a picture that you know from something else. Then you combine the two. Ah, it says the same. You see, that's the idea. That's the idea about it. I was preparing a message to the church a few weeks ago, and it was Psalm 120. And like you, I have a lot of commentaries. I don't like to go to libraries. I like to buy a library. So I really buy good books, and it's kind of covering me around me. If I have a problem, I have some good friends to call and say, what do you think? It's good. I do believe it's healthy. Of course, I start with a prayer. Don't worry. But the idea is that when you sit and you realize it's a bundle, it's very hard for me to stand before the church unless I know the picture of this bundle, the picture of the puzzle, and to tell the people, we are in the right side, in the bottom. You see what I mean? If I'm unable to say that, I feel uncomfortable. It's like walking like this, que sera, sera almost. No one likes it, especially not if you are a pastor, correct? You really want to shoot to the right direction. Again, even if you don't know the thing, if you are set on the word and you are faithful to it, you are safe, okay? But you really want to know what all the picture is about. So I decided, by God's grace, to take these chapters, 120 to 134, to put it in a list and to simply in one line, in one sentence, to write what is the major topic of this chapter. Just put it as a line. And the moment I put it there, the jaw fell down. You see, it happened to me as well almost every day. And I was so shocked, and the reason was most of the commentaries don't say that. And that freaks you out. So immediately, it's not that you hold the wisdom and they don't. It's not that they shoot to the north and it is in the south. No. They all shoot to the north, but few degrees to the sides. Okay? So you feel they touch the body, but not between the eyes. That's the idea. I will suggest. The normal commentaries that you will see will tell you, when the people of Israel came from the diaspora and they went up to Jerusalem, they read or they sang these songs as they come up to Jerusalem. So whether later on when they are in Israel, every time they came up to the temple, they sang this song, okay? From the exile as they come toward Jerusalem. So this is the general idea that you may have. This is the general commentary that you may have. They will even tell you that rabbinical commentaries will say there are 15 stairs between the hall of the women to the hall of Israel, and on these 15 stairs, the Levite used to read these 15 songs. Okay? So the songs were not created because there were 50 stairs, but they used it as that, okay? Just to put things in the right perspective. But when you put all these 15 chapters, you see amazing thing, and that's only because you're supposed to know end time events. The major issue of these Psalms of Ascent is, listen very carefully, it's a prophetic look at the nation of Israel. And the title is From Exile to Kingdom. I will explain. From Exile to Kingdom. Chapter 120. God, help me from the enemies I'm living with. Help me from these Yefet descendants and Ishmael descendants. It's in a different one, Kedar and Meshech. I just want peace. They want war. God, help me to get out of these enemies and idol worshippers from exile. Chapter 21, they are aiming toward Jerusalem and they trust God to fulfill their request. They are going up to Jerusalem until they reach 126. What is 126? We are in our land. We are rejoicing, and all the enemies, all the other nations are in a war that we returned back to our place. We are holding our promised land, and immediately come the warning, 127. Hey, listen, nation. If God will not build a house, you walk for vain. Did you get the message and the warning? Do you see how it relates one to another? 128 and up describes suddenly the people of Israel are drifting again. And they're under troubles. And they're calling God again for help. It ends up in 132. What is 132? The people of Israel are returning back to the promise covenant that God gave to David and his seed. Which promise is this? The new covenant, the Messiah. When will Israel be saved? After the tribulation. From the middle of the tribulation, they will be kicked out to the desert. In the desert for 3.5 years, they'll have time to rethink, how did they go wrong? And there, the Spirit of the Lord, Spirit of supplication, will walk in their hearts. Hosea chapter 2, verses 14 to 16, and Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 1 and 2. I will allure them to the desert, and while they are in the desert, I will soften their heart and speak into their hearts. There in the desert. And they will return back to the promise of David, to the new covenant. All Israel will be saved. And what will happen after all Israel will be saved? Behold, how pleasant and good it is for brethren to sit together. Without Christ, you will not even have peace with your husband, let alone a nation among other nations. Behold, how pleasant and good it is for brethren to sit together, only when the blood of Christ is on your floor and all of you washed with it. Otherwise, there is no. And what is the purpose of the people of Israel? According to Exodus chapter 19, verse 5 and 6, you are priest in my kingdom. So how can you be priest if you reject the high priest? You can be priest in my kingdom only after you receive the high priest, who is Jesus. So 132, they receive the high priest. All Israel is saved. 133, peace in the kingdom. 134, they all praise God. Amen. From exile to kingdom. Guess what? It's very nice to speak about Israel as a nation, from exile to kingdom. What about us? This is exactly the path, the individual path we all have in our life. None of us started his life from kingdom. From the womb of my father, my mother, I came in sin. David says in Psalm 51. So I started exile. Do you want to reach kingdom? Enter to the new covenant by the blood of Christ. Only then you can come and sing, Hine ma tov uma naim, shevet achim gam yachad. Behold, how pleasant good it is for brethren to sit together. Otherwise, you'll say, behold, how nasty it is to sit with snakes who bite me day by day. This is our life here. Peace, only with Christ, not with anyone or anything else. And then we can come together and say, amen. We can serve God as priests as well. The bottom line. I'm excited. I like it. The book of Psalms is not a song book. You can sing it, but it was not made just a regular song book put as a environmental music in the background. No. The book of Psalms is a book with a target, with a topic. And the topic is Christ. That is why it's also divided to five sections like the Pentateuch. Okay? Again, the division was done by people. Okay? But they already saw there are similarities. The book of Psalms is made for people who are confessing their sin and kiss the Son. For those people, God will hear their praises and be honored. For others, you are still outside and God does not hear it, unless you confess it and claim the blood of Christ as your Savior. Inside the Psalms, God comes and tells you all his plan. He will hear your question. He promised you that he knows you even before you became to be. He is a great father, 139. He's always there for us. See how he dealt with the people of Israel. In the same way, he's dealing with each one of us. He's a faithful Lord. But remember, all these beautiful issues are nothing unless you what? Kiss the Son. Father in heaven, I thank you. You're a great God. You give us also great words. I just pray that you'll give us the wisdom to see your heart and blood and smile and grace as we go through these verses, but also go one step backward in order to see the view, the general picture. And it is so beautiful. It's holy. Please, Father, help us that none of us here will leave this place without to know and to say, I kiss the Son. I know Jesus is my Lord and Savior. And then, Father, teach us how to live away in a way that our life is praises to God. I thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Thank you.